Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers from The Messenger. We are so excited today because we have Archangel Michael's Conclave members here to discuss what happened at Yellowstone, what's going on with the Archangel Michael's lessons, and so there's so much to discuss. Mattia.
Yes, Carolyn.
Yes, dear. Since you were one of the ones who planned this excursion into Yellowstone, perhaps it would be a good idea for you to start. Give a little idea as to the purpose of this journey.
Okay. Last year at this time, I was guided by Archangel Michael to move to Montana, and all the doors opened rather quickly, and I found a home to buy that I could actually afford in Paradise Valley. And he explained that the reason was to assist Mother Earth in stabilizing the tectonic plates in this region, that there was a lot of instability. I never questioned or asked much more, but I did notice that the Super Volcano movie came on as I was making the decision, and I had asked if that was a possibility and heard, yes, this is a very distinct possibility. So as I came here and felt the energies, I asked him if this would be a good idea to have a seminar where Rhonda Herman would come and bring a lot of these wonderful light workers here to help heal one of these hot spots on the planet, and everything again just flowed, so it felt like the right thing, and we had a wonderful turnout. I think we had almost 80 people come from all over the world, and this was a very different group than normally attends Rhonda's seminars, and I was told that all of us had made a contract to return to this place and do this healing work. And while we were there, the Norris geyser went off for the first time since 1992, I believe.
The what went off?
The Norris geyser, which Yeah, it's an area where there's a lot of steam venting. The area has risen 4 inches in the last 2 to 3 years, and this is the first sign of an eruption, is when your land starts to rise.
Wow.
So we were told that the venting by Rhonda, that this venting was an excellent sign because the pressure from the earth and the magma chamber was going to be released. And since that point in time, speaking to some of the local people, I've heard that areas of inactivity have become active, and it's like the land is different now, and the energy is grounded, and the healing of this chamber has begun.
That is beautiful. What I would like, if possible, some of the members, first of all, before we get into that, how about if we do a little round robin right now and introduce each one of the members, and so they could tell us, you know, what part of the country that they are from, and maybe a line or two about them personally. Think that would work?
I think so. Do you want to just go in the order that you logged on to the conference call?
Maybe they need you to point them
out. Okay, we'll start with Bob. Bob, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay, Bob Kofristi. I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I have a vortex that I do healing meditations, and students and people from the community come once a week there. I'm one of Archangel Michael's legionnaires, not only in this lifetime, but in all lifetimes. And I'm very involved in metaphysics, teaching, healing, assisting the planet, doing various works. On many occasions, I go to various initiations and activations at different levels through the Council of 13. And it just assists me in my spiritual growth, so that connecting today with other light weavers throughout the various parts of the world is truly a blessing. And I'm really grateful to be here and sharing this energy.
Before we go to the next one, Mattia, if I might just ask Bob a question. Bob, tell us about this vortex that you do this healing work in. Is this something that was there when you moved there, or is this something that you helped create with Archangel Michael?
No, I was guided to do healing and teaching, and I started this vortex myself. I formed a corporation called the Cosmic Light Spirit, Mind, and Body Center. And basically, I just opened myself up to the community and put the word out and invite people to come and share. So that we'll do various healing modalities, including inner child work. And I also invite other practitioners who have different modalities to share their modalities with us to come here. And I encourage other people who are teachers or just lay people, anyone. So this is something that's my passion. And my goal in life is to actually build and establish a huge, tremendous, really large-sized center, expanding this and bringing it to a much higher level. And incorporating into that center will be many, many rooms. Each one of them will be in honor and named after one of the different masters or deities, and decorated accordingly. And incorporated into that center will be a huge, tremendous vegetarian restaurant that would be in honor and named after Mother Earth, and just serving the planet, the people in the planet, and the divine plan. So my aspirations are really to do big things for the planet. And in aligned with that, I've asked the masters to keep me here on this planet for many years that I may serve well.
I love your enthusiasm, Bob, and we're going to get back to you later because there's something else I wanted to discuss with you, because your enthusiasm and willing to step up to the plate for light is just so beautiful, and thank you for coming. Mattia, who is the next one who came in that you could introduce?
We have Kathleen.
Oh, Kathleen. Tell us a little about yourself, dear.
I'm Kathleen Schiller, and I live in Cortez, Colorado. I've been into metaphysics since the 30s, so I'm one old girl, and I love it. It's better now than when I was younger.
I love it. One of these goddesses, huh?
Right. I do spiritual readings for people, and I never advertise. God sends the ones that he wants me to read for, and I'm always busy. So we went up to Yellowstone and did our thing up there, and that was wonderful. And I also have my friend Celia, who also went to Yellowstone with me here. I managed to get her to come.
Oh, I'm so glad. Before we get on to someone else, Kathleen, can you give us one little thought about something that happened at Yellowstone that you might want to share with the people who are listening?
Well, I did notice that there are tremendous herds of buffalo, and, you know, animals are very in tune with the earth, and I think if they realized that that was going to blow, they would exit. And so they're not exiting. And so to me, that's a clue that the work that we're helping with Mother Earth up there is working.
Ah, that's beautiful. And I think it's something we all need to hear, isn't it?
Right.
And so you brought your friend Celia. I'm so glad. Celia, we're so delighted that you could visit with us, too. Now, you went to Yellowstone, didn't you?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of your experiences and what you might want to relay to the people?
Well, I'm really in tune with nature and animals, and that's one of my very favorite things. So, and Mother Earth is very important to me. And so, yes, I really watch the animals, and Yellowstone is just so incredibly beautiful. And there's, you have to do everything you can to help that area, plus Mother Earth. And I just, it was just a wonderful experience for me. I'm not the same because I have this great inner peace within now that I've never had before. And the doors that have just opened for me since I've come back are just incredible.
You know, that's something that I really want people to understand, and hopefully you're a marvelous example of this, is that when you make the effort to go and work with spirit and try and do something special, you never walk away empty-handed, do you?
No, and I always have been a loner. I've always done all the angriest light I possibly could do was alone, but I have never particularly been with a crew or with other people, other light workers. And so that was a new experience for me, and I tremendously enjoyed meeting the people at that seminar. That was blissful for me.
It's time for all of us light workers to come together and meet one another, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's wonderful.
So, Matea, who else is there?
We have Maria Ruha. She came on next.
Maria,
hi,
dear. Tell us a little bit.
I am in New Jersey, and I'm a nurse. And I have worked for many years with all kinds of, I've worked with homeless people, with addicts, with children who have troubled lives, all of these people. And I've always had what is considered odd view of things. But I've always felt, you know, that everyone is good somehow, you know, inside. And I've always had a knack to zero in on the part of a person that is beautiful. And I seem to be able to pull it out a little so they can see it and they can use it. And so I've had in my profession some measure of success because when the people, they maybe think they are not much, but then they discover that they have all this good stuff they didn't realize. And the fact that someone else can see it, you know, it allows them to see it. And that it completely, you know, they are able to turn around and do something else that is good for them. So I have always been very spiritual in this way, you know, not very in a formal way, but to listen to what comes to me. And always is this is what the love is. It's, you put it out, and it just knows what to do. You don't have to do it.
So that's what love is. You just put it out, and it knows what to do. I love it. Beautiful thought.
And,
thank you, Maria. And
yeah,
so who's the next
I'm
one?
Just looking, I'm looking for a lot of knowledge has come my way lately, and I think I'm going to be put where I belong so I can do what I do all the time.
You work with Reiki?
I want to work more with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see things sometimes. I heal people sometimes. Well, I have learned some Reiki now,
mm-hmm.
but before also. But I've always been looking for, you know, when am I going to do what I came to do, you know, all the time. And I think this is what is happening now. I'm becoming connected with all the people that have the same purpose. And that is what I've been looking for. And I think this is what is happening. I am being proficient.
You're opening up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there someone else there that, because I don't want to miss anybody, Matea.
Yes, we have Marie.
Oh, yes.
Marie Alizon from Falls Church, Virginia.
Yes.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, I said welcome.
Uh-huh. I distribute essential oils in my life all over the world. We created one, Archangel Michael, and Matthias confirmed that Archangel Michael was there when he created. I am very much in touch with Mother Nature, always has, and with the plants. I talk to the plant and they bloom for me. Night blooming series, for example, I have 100 blooms a year when it's supposed to be only one every 7 years. And I already have 5 this year, 2 when it was a Yellowstone event. I also work a lot with the divas. I have like 22 divas. We created a vortex of energy around my house. I think it's like 30 meters down where we put negativity and we transmute it. And the divas have been wonderful. I also host a meditation since 3 years every Thursday night
where we work with the divas and the archangels and so forth. It's very potent. My main goal is to work with Mother Nature and the plants and the divas.
Would you be kind enough to tell us how you call in the divas? Is there a special way that you might do this?
My roommates see them. I feel them.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to them, and I use my pendulum, you know, to know when I take walks. You know, I have to wait for them once in a while because I walk too fast. But there's two that stays in the trees in the with a small wood close by. But
mm-hmm.
whenever I have a bloom of night blooming, for example, or a meditation, they join us for the meditation. So it's more knowing. I
mm-hmm.
always was fascinated by divas, and I know they are there.
Do you have many meditations? In other words, do you do this like once a week or a couple
once
of
a week
and bring in other
people?
Once a week,
rain or shine.
Uh-huh.
On Thursday at 7:30.
I think that's marvelous. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. But
I said we do a gratitude circle. That's why all so many people come from the other plane.
What kind of circle?
A healing circle at the end.
I didn't hear you. What kind of circle?
Gratitude circle when we start, and we finish with a healing circle where we have a basket of people we put in, and we have a lot of good results with it.
That's marvelous. And do we have anyone else? Mattia, I don't want to miss anyone.
If anybody else came on, speak up. I don't believe so.
Okay. I wanted to first kind of go around the table and introduce everyone, because I would say that every one of you are outstanding light workers. We're all just delighted that you have come and you're sharing some of your experiences with us. I wanted to touch in another area, and that is if there are some of you who have been working with the lessons that Archangel Michael has given us and we put on the website too now, is there anyone who might care to give some experiences as to their results that they've had with the work with the electron?
I can. This is Kathleen.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. Can you speak up just a little bit more? I want everyone to hear about your experiences.
Okay. Well, with the first lesson, I really didn't have a clue what an electron looked like. So I had to go in some of my scientific papers and books and look it up. And so I used that, the picture of what they showed as an electron, and I got it so that I could make it almost dance. I guess every time I would tell it to start spinning, it would spin, and that it would bounce around and well, almost like it was dancing. Hello.
I hear you. No, I'm enjoying what you're saying.
Okay. Then on the second one, when I boxed, it was it looked to me like a platelet, but
you mean when you put it back in the box?
Yes, we put it in the box, and then we were supposed to let it out.
Uh huh.
And see what it did. And when I let it out, I it looked like a platelet to me, but when I went to Yellowstone, Rona was showing us the infinity symbol.
Oh, yes.
How to work with that. And that's what it was. It was the infinity symbol. It wasn't a platelet.
So your electron took the shape of the infinity symbol and made that path. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
For those people who maybe are listening and don't understand what we're referring to, this is an exercise that Archangel Michael gave us in working with an electron with the mind. And what we're talking about is the experiences that people have had using his exercise. So I find that fascinating, that when you took it out of the box, it was actually making the path of the infinity symbol. I think that's remarkable.
Yeah, and it just, it, I don't know if you've seen, the kids used to have a little sort of a symbol, eight, like that infinity symbol that they put on the end of a pencil and they would spin it. And that's what this thing was doing, where every time I let it out of the box, it just spun all around.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for us to get to the third exercise. Archangel tells me we have another exercise to get up on the website, so we'll have to get working on that and see what your atoms are going to be doing next, or rather your electrons.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Now, was there anything else that you had to report, or was, because I don't want to cut you short.
No, that was the way that that I saw the electron first, and then the way that it took that infinity symbol. And, of course, Rona showed us how to use that infinity symbol, which was very interesting.
Do you care to share that with the audience? How, I don't know if you can do that verbally.
It's a breathing exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And she said you breathe in a deep breath through right at the middle of your body and have it come up and out through the where the medulla oblongata is in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
You have it come out there and then come around, go back in that hole in the middle, and then go down out through between your legs and come back up. And it's a powerful, gives you powerful energy, and it also brings sparks of light from the hierarchy down to you. So it's a wonderful thing to do.
Have you been working with that very long? The infinity breathing?
Just since I've come back. Since I've come back from Yellowstone.
Have you seen a difference?
Powerful. Well, yeah. It seems like it's changing the body.
Mm-hmm.
The body feels a lot lighter.
That's marvelous.
So it's very interesting.
Is there somebody else around the table who might have some thoughts about their work with the electron?
Maria had a very fascinating experience, if she wants to share.
Yeah, with the second one. I made the electron light while it's in the box, and I peeked a little bit, and it comes out and light, black, white light. I mean, they go shoots out into space. And then it starts looking for other electrons, you know, and they like get together, and it's sort of a, like an explosion, and the light gets bigger, and they go find some other, it's almost a kind of dance, some other electrons, and they were running in this kind of a giant, not ellipse, it's like a spiral, you know, it was bigger and bigger. And each time a group get together, there'd be like this kind of fireworks, and then they get together again. And eventually, and then I saw myself all of a sudden, I'm out there, and I'm this huge being. You know, I felt this one time before when I was in the window looking at night, at the sky. I love to look at the sky. And I felt like this, and I'm this very big. You know, and there was some kind of an awareness that there's some kind of a temple-like place there, you know, with columns,
mm-hmm.
like big type, you know. And I don't know what this place was, but it was some outdoor place, obviously. Only the outdoor, the backyard, was the space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, all of this, when we gathered enough people and everything, it became a comet. And so I made a comment with the electron, and it was fascinating. But
I'm
certainly
was a comment, huh?
Yeah, it was. They were just like each other, but it was kind of like they were dancing together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It had a rhythm to it, the thing.
Was there someone else? I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I mean, I think this kind of sharing helps everyone. Was there someone
else
who
could share an experience?
This is Bob?
Yes.
I was waiting
waiting for you. I was wondering if you were going to come forth. I figured you had to have one.
Well, during the course of the day, I did the exercise, and what I saw was a gold boar. It was actually very bright light, very bright, and it danced around. It moved around, more of a spinning type of motion, going around in a circle, but also moving, not staying stationary. When I went to bed at night and I tried that, and I was very excited because I was looking forward to the same experience, nothing happened. And I kept trying and trying and dwelling on that. Then the realization came that that ball was completely black. It was all dark. And what it did, it's like it brought forth, I guess, a black hole or a portal, because everything around it was all black. And as I speak now, I see that you have a difference between the brightest of gold and the dark, and that all the colors are in that. So the electron is many things to many people. And for me, the brightness was no different than the darkness. It was all one. So, but it brought a different type of experience. The first time, it was exhilarating. And the second time, it was like I was questioning myself and saying, oh, okay, what is happening or what is not happening there? And then I accepted the black hole. I accepted the darkness of that. So that in itself was beauty, was a gift.
So in a sense, it was like, is what you're saying the gold ball represented this universe and the darkness represented the black hole behind it? Is that
correct?
Uh-huh. When you had the experience with the gold ball, was that during the day or in the evening?
That was during the daytime. That's when I first started it. As soon as I got, I downloaded the information and I printed up the lesson, and then I started working on that during the day.
I asked because I noticed for myself that during the day, the activity of the electron is a little different than at night, and I was just wondering if anyone else had that experience, and you're telling me that.
That was my experience.
Yes. Quite exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
If I may say something, Bob, you saw a picture of one. You saw everything. But you didn't need a picture. You got everything.
Right.
Amazing.
Was there anyone else who cared to share their any of their experiences? I know some others have been working with it. Mattia, did you care to share anything?
I seem to have had a hard time with the electron.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to do it, and then I would just see, like, what would be the figure in the book with three different colors, and then it wouldn't do very much of anything. I'm afraid I didn't have whatever you all have.
Well, I'm glad that you shared this, because the first time, I have to confess, the very first time that I ever worked with an electron was really before Archangel Michael gave these lessons. And the first time I heard it, I felt very inept. I couldn't figure out what in the world you're supposed to do with it. I couldn't figure out at all what an electron was. One of the other ladies there said they had that problem and went and looked in the book. And so the very first time, I didn't get it at all. And then I think the second time I worked with the electron, now, of course, this was before Archangel Michael, I thought there must be something wrong with me because everybody's having all of these incredible experiences and I'm not experiencing anything. And then I kind of gave up on working with it. And then Archangel Michael gave these lessons, and so I worked with the first lesson. And I have to say, I had some success. The electron did what I wanted to do. It went in. I put it in the box. I took it out of the box, but my electron was a very lazy electron. It was just willing to sit in the box. Didn't want to do anything in particular. And then it was the third time I had a remarkable experience.
And that's why I asked Bob, is his gold ball that there was sunlight? Because this particular time, I was sitting in the sun. I was sitting in a chair in my office, and the light was streaming in on me. So I was like sitting in the sun. And I decided to work with the electron, and I had a gold ball at that time. At night, it seems to be black. And during the day, it was gold. And it turned into a snake, the kind of snake that you think of on, you know, the pharaoh's headdress. And it wanted to come up and touch me on the forehead. And I said, no, 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 we're not going to have this electron snake touch me on the forehead. And then I heard this voice that said, allow. And I said, well, okay, we'll let you do that. And it did. It touched me on the forehead. And that was kind of interesting. But I only relay this because it took me quite a few times working with this. And just to give all of you a little bit of encouragement, if things are not happening, just give it a chance, because I think what is happening here is we are starting to remember when we worked with electrons back in Atlantis, and it's going to take a little bit of time to stir up the memory. And when my electron looked like a snake, I felt very strongly that this went back to a life in Egypt. And so I think there were times in existence when we worked with this, when we came to high points in civilization, and then we went to the low point of civilization, all of this was buried. So keep working with this. Don't give up. Don't think that you can't do it. Memory takes a while to coax forward. So with that in mind, does anybody else maybe have something to share? Maybe not with a success, but maybe with a failure, because I think we fail quite a few times before we then become successful. So nobody wants to talk about a failure either, huh?
Well, when I experienced that night, I thought it was a failure at first. When I didn't see anything and I saw the darkness, then I realized that was just, it was a black electron, just a black ball. So my first thought was, you know, what is not happening here?
Uh-huh. I heard a female voice ready to speak up, too.
Yeah, me.
Yes, dear.
You've got a lot of times, too, Maria.
Okay, Maria.
But, you know, Bob, I had also the feeling, like she was saying, that this is a, maybe being used as a catalyst to remember, because I had to confirm what I saw and what I saw myself. It was just a real place, and it's a memory. And I thought that you are describing, maybe you are seeing the void, so that means you have remembered all the way back to the beginning.
That's interesting.
That is an interesting thought.
Yes, that's one of the things that I've called for.
Yes, you are remembered all the way to the beginning where there was the void. And so now, probably, is why you're creating so much. Because now you have the whole picture. It's in there. And, you know, but I stuck out many times before I got to that point. You know, for several nights, nothing happened. And I thought, maybe I'm trying too hard. So I'm just going to go through the motions, and what's going to happen is going to happen. And that is what cleared it up. And then after that happened, I was never able to see anything else. So I thought, for me, the purpose of that exercise had been fulfilled, which was to throw that memory out. So, little by little, all the pieces of the puzzle, they are falling in place. So
yes, but I do think a lot of it is about memory, retrieving memory.
Yes, and they each come at the right time for the person, for each person. So I would say, you know, keep, if you haven't gotten anything, keep doing it. It's just as if something you do every night, because when it's time for your memory to come out, it will. Maybe it's not time for your memory this minute, you know?
Before we move on to another topic, is there anyone else who might want to comment on this at all, either of the events at Yellowstone and what you came away with it, or something that has to do with the electron?
Yes, Carolyn, I'd like to mention the fact that
who is this, dear?
When I was working with the electron.
And who is this?
This is Kathleen.
Okay, Kathleen.
And when I was working with the electron, and I remembered them saying, well, we have electrons in all in our body. And so I thought, well, why just spend one electron? I'm going to spend them all. And so I commanded them all the electrons in my body to spin. And I said, I want to feel it from my head to my fingertips and to my toes. And it was just like sort of a buzz that went through my body, but it brought heat all the way down to my fingertips and to my toes. And so it started getting really warm, so I thought, oh boy, what have I done? So I better back it off. So I commanded it to stop, and then I cooled down. But it really did work.
You know, there's a couple layers there, Kathleen. We're talking about memory. But we're also talking about the consciousness of the body and being able to command this consciousness, or at least to communicate with it.
Right.
And so I think this is extremely important on a lot of levels. Did anybody else make any commands to their body? So it was just Kathleen that thought of that. I think the heat was interesting.
Yes, it got pretty warm.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone who has been to Yellowstone wish to comment on the Cities of Light?
Oh, yeah. I'm just here to listen. I'm going to hear Maddie talk.
What I noticed, I think if you asked every single person that was in the park at the sacred site of their experience, it was different. And what Rana had done is earlier that morning, while we were still at the hotel, we did the actual City of Light meditation. But when I went to the sacred site, rather than going into the earth, I went ahead and went into the city, and as I was talking to people, I found that everybody had a little bit different experience, and I had asked Michael why I didn't go into the chamber, and he had said, well, you've been in there for 6 or 7 months.
You mean the volcanic?
By the time I was taken to the chamber, it was right near the end. I had spent the time in the City of Light, and then she had explained how to spiral downwards. And then I spiraled into the magma chamber, and when I got there, what I saw was a huge cavern with a rose quartz crystal heart. There was no more lava left there.
Oh, gorgeous.
It had all been changed and transmuted, and in its place was this magnificent rose quartz heart. But in the meditation to the City of Light, I'm not sure about the others' experiences, but she taught us to, it was like a, kind of think of a corkscrew, and you would take your consciousness through the top of your head, and she said to spiral upward, and then when you got to the City of Light, to visualize this huge golden arch. And then when I got to the arch, there were several people, several beings waiting for me, and they gave me a tour of the city and then took me to the, it was Michael who took me to the top of the city and showed me this vast city of light. It what it looked like to me was, if you have seen Tolkien's final movie, The Return of the King, with the city that is in that movie. I don't know if anybody has seen the movie. But the city where the final battle took place that spiraled upward, that's what it kind of looked like to me. But I'm sure that everybody saw something a little bit different.
Is there more than one city, Matia, or several?
No. From what my understanding, from what Rana spoke, and maybe the others can comment as well, is that there are cities located all over the planet. And right before we went to Yellowstone, it was in China, an article was circulating on the internet where for 4 hours, and I cannot remember the name of the city, but thousands of people saw this holographic image of a city in the sky. And
in Japan.
Okay, yeah, maybe Marie can comment a little bit more on that. A holographic image of the city in the sky, and Rana had said, when asked why there were cars in it, Michael said if they hadn't put the cars in it, nobody would have known what it was. So she felt like this was an image coming through, but the cities are located all over the planet, and she said that you can create your own city of light wherever it is that you live by just beginning to visualize the energy. Remember, we are the sons and daughters of God. We have the same powers that God has. And when we are in that place where we think with God, we have the potential to create anything that we want to create, so that you can, the idea was for everybody that came to the seminar was to take this energy home and begin building their own cities of light over the areas where they live. And the way that he's explaining it to me now is these cities are being created in the fifth dimensional environment with the energy and thoughts of God in alignment with the divine will, and we're building our future with these cities of light. We're visualizing, you know, these magnificent cities, and each of us has our own little flame to put in there, whether it be healing or just about anything a human can think of with a God mind, they can put into their city of light. And this is how the golden age is going to begin to descend through these cities of light that are being built. And I see the ties to the heart, that it's through the heart that the energy is being grounded, and through the love that we have for God that these cities are going to manifest as time progresses.
You said that very beautifully, Matia. Thank you. I would like to have just a little clarification on something, because there are people who are listening to this who are not familiar with some of the things that we might be familiar with. So the question that I'm passing your way is more for those people where this is a new idea. So just let me review a little something. Because we are masters, we can build these cities of light above us. And is this a fair statement to make, that as the world progresses, we'll be able to pull these energies down to where we're living now? Is that the correct interpretation?
That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly right, that we use the power of the mind to create. And what we create with God is created with purity, without the negativity and the hate. So if we visualize a city of love where people love and take care of each other, and there's no crime and there's no neglect or abuse, and people treat each other with respect, this adds to this common consciousness of mankind, and that as we group these positive pools of light together, we can begin to ground this energy and this light into the earth to build the type of world that we were intended to live in, and not what we've created with the ego or the separated mind from God.
So in effect, what you're saying is that we are actually creating our future. Is that a fair thing to say?
He says, bingo.
I love it. Archangel Michael has his own bingo card with him.
He has a very funny sense of humor at times.
Oh, I love his sense of humor.
Carolyn, can I share something?
We would love for you to share.
One of the experiences that I've gone through, regardless of what city I travel to, and I've gone to a number of seminars, and I'll be at the one in Syracuse in July 7th, 8th, and 9th, is that when the attendees go back to their respective cities, they bring back with them the energies that they've assisted in activating, and they're bringing that light plus their own light at a much more expanded level to the areas that they live in. When you are in the presence of someone, either in, through the sound of their voice, through the sight of their being, through the energies of your eyes, you are actually bringing those energies to those individuals. So all of us, as we travel and go to various sacred sites throughout the world, we're really activating the additional sites in our own cities, because we're bringing that light back. And there is so much happening on the planet, and that's why it's so important that we as light workers, light weavers, and just warriors of the light actually get together as often as we can in many of these activations and many of these gatherings. And we're fulfilling our contracts to be together at a given day or a given time and to reestablish and rekindle the families that we are. So for me, it's like really something special, and I'm really excited about all of this. I'm really looking forward to the Syracuse seminar and any others that I can participate in. So I wanted to bring that out and just let everybody know that wherever you go to and wherever you've been, you're bringing God's light and love to your cities, to your residences, wherever you live.
Well, I really thank you for reminding us of that, and perhaps you might give a little word about the purpose of the Syracuse seminar.
I don't have with me the material, but I believe in addition to Michael being there, Metatron is going to be there, and there will be an activation in that city. There will be an activation in that area, and a lot of things are going to happen. In addition to Rhonda, she's going to have other people on the program that are going to be part of the training that we're going to receive and a lot of the information. And it doesn't matter to me how many times I go to these seminars. It's always something new. It's something different. And it just reinforces those energies. When we're taken to the fifth dimension and we're just given the kind of powers or reactivating them within us, it's fabulous. So I'm excited about what is going to happen there. And, you know, Michael always has surprises for us. When we think we're going to get something here, he just may have something else. And one of the gifts that we received in the Virginia seminar was an initiation into the ladies of the Order of the Goddess, which is really, it was just stupendous. It was just something special for those that were in attendance. So there's always gifts that are given to us far beyond what we give of ourselves.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there is an element of sacrifice in the sense that you have to make a determination to travel someplace. There is a certain amount of finances that you have to come up with, and so there's effort on your part. But what you get back in return is far greater than anything you have sacrificed. And I would like to leave that thought with people also. I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Bob?
Definitely. Yes, wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
We always get back more than what we give.
Yeah, sometimes we think, oh, we're sacrificing an awful lot until we find out, oh, I did that, but my, how I was rewarded. While we're talking about giving to the community and stepping up to the plate and trying to work for spirit, Bob, you and I had a little conversation on the phone earlier about what you were doing in New York, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I would like for you to repeat some of that, because I think there's a lot of people today, they think, well, what can I do? There is just me. I'm not, a big person or significant. What can I do to help humanity? The job is too big. And I would like to say that there's always something that people can do, and you got to be willing to step up to the plate and say, okay, I got my hand up. I'm willing to do this. you've taken on a big project, perhaps as means of inspiration. You could perhaps just give us some ideas as to what you've put your foot into.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm really honored to do this because it's one of my passions. One of the ways to serve the divine plan, to serve spirit and humanity, Mother Earth and all that is in service. And service incorporates many, many areas. There's no limit to it. I have a particular pet organization where my heart really belongs to, and that is Kiwanis International. It's a service organization dedicated to changing the world one child and one community at a time. There are Kiwanis organizations in every country of the world, in almost every state and every city. And all one really has to do is just look up Kiwanis, K-I-W-A-N-I-S. And Kiwanis does service for children, for the elderly, the handicapped, special needs situations, every type of service. And we do it as individual clubs. Each club is autonomous, but there is an umbrella and a larger umbrella and a larger umbrella. It's comprised of men and women from all walks of life. Within each state, there are various districts, and within those districts, there are various divisions. And I happen to be fortunate that in Brooklyn, we have 12 clubs in the Brooklyn division. And each club, as autonomous as they are governed and led by one individual. At the division level, it's called the Lieutenant Governor. At this time, I am serving as Lieutenant Governor Designate, meaning that I step into that picture on October 1 of 2006 for one full year. We're on a fiscal year starting October 1. So I've made a commitment to raise the level of service, not only for myself, but for all of the clubs in the Brooklyn Division, and I will be calling on all of them to step up to the plate, not only to do more, but to bring to a higher level of service the quality of service that they're providing for the communities. We do so much, and there is a tremendous amount of effort required. One of the projects that we do here is we sponsor what is known as K-Kids. And K-Kids is taking a particular school and adopting that school and getting the principal to start a K-Kids club in that school. And these are the fourth and fifth graders and young children. They learn responsibility. They start doing service, community service for the school, for everyone. Whether it was the Katrina hurricane, the 9/11 situation, the tsunami, all Kiwanians pitched in, and we had a unified effort where we did so much for the planet. So what I say to people is look at what you can do as an individual and as a group. Become part of a group and provide service. Through the service, you will see the rewards. They're so astounding, really. You get back more than what you give. You come in contact with like-minded people. You bond with them. There's a camaraderie that is shared. There is a joy. When you can see the smile on a child, when you can see the relief that you bring to an infirmed person, an elderly person, or anyone of God's children that's in need. So for me, being part of a service organization has been an inspiration. It's been great for me. It takes a tremendous amount of my time that I give wholeheartedly, and it does not interfere with my social life, with my business life. I make time out of that, and as a matter of fact, it has expanded my family in a sense, because now I'm associating and I'm socializing with like-minded people who are doing community service, and not all of them are into metaphysics. You know, some of these people, when they listen to me talk, you think they want to put a straitjacket on me, so it's another matter. However, it's just really rewarding, and I would suggest to anyone who's really looking to do something to increase their life, to enrich their lives, to get into some kind of community service. And I would always recommend finding out about Kiwanis. And I can lead anyone to whatever the local Kiwanis club is in their organization if they contact me. And they're also on the web. Just type in Kiwanis. They're all over.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really wanted you to talk about this because we have come through a period of time where the government keeps saying, oh, leave it to the government, we'll take care of everything, and then we have issues in our society, whether it's destruction from a hurricane, whether it's a flood or what it is, and we're finding that these services are really wanting. In other words, the help one person to another has to come from the community, I do believe. We can't count on the government for these things. And we've gotten out of the habit, I think, of working one-on-one. And so I thank you for telling us about your passion in this moment and perhaps to get us all thinking, you know, what can we do to help others? Before our great moderator, Don, are you listening? I needed to have a Mary call, and I don't think she has been called. So I guess Don's busy with the technological side and is not listening to this. So perhaps maybe he'll tune in a little later. Does anyone else in the group have? And first of all, we talked about our own personal growth through prayer, through meditation, through going to seminars and being with like-minded people. And Bob brings up service in a community. Did anybody else have any thoughts or experiences when they have worked in community work?
I'd like to say something.
Sure. Who's this?
Maria.
Maria, okay.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, this is also for the people that are not, like, acquainted much. Many times we hear all this about energy, you know, and we have all the intention and whatever, but we are never sure that this is actually not in our imagination. But it is it definitely works, and my thing is that everybody has this, and everybody, it has to show up in your regular life, okay? So, to give you an example, the other day I had a piece of mail that was lost, and the post office was having all kinds of trouble not finding it, and it was getting to the tribe, my pages. But then I had that last phone call, and then I said to myself, you know, let me intend for my energy to increase the energy of these people so they can have the synchronicity that's going to allow them to find this thing. And I picture them finding this thing. And then a few minutes later, they call me, we found your box, you know. And I have that with people also. If I see somebody that is very moody and losing it, and I intend for my energy to come and raise their energy, and they become calm, you know. So it can show, even if you're not a person that will go in an organization, it can show in everyday, in your everyday life.
Indeed.
You can do the thing, because it's like, if I could have complained, but this was better because this was helping them. And then that helped me in turn, too, you know. So I just wanted to say, you know, it's doable by in any way.
You know what that reminds me of, Maria, the story of St. Teresa, the little flower. You might not be aware of St. Teresa's life, but that is the thing that she did, trying to live her everyday moments perfectly and being perfect, helping one another in the moment, and those that are around the individual. And so you bring up a very good point. There's many ways that we can serve. We can serve in a group, we can serve as an individual, and we can also serve in our families. This is a great place to serve, whether you're a mother or a sister or a grandmother. The family unit today, I think, needs a lot of help by the way of service, because in some areas of the world, things are becoming very difficult with the hectic lives that we lead and the kind of pressures that we have, the traffic on the road. And so those who keep the home life balanced and steady and loving is a great service to the world also. Does anybody else in the group have something to contribute with the way of service?
Yes, I could.
And who's Marie. This?
Marie.
Marie, okay.
Yeah, I handle an orphanage in Santo Domingo since 12 years. And
yes.
My original idea was to have a better balance between the have and the have-not.
Mm-hmm.
And we experience miracle all the time. We just had the 8,000 pounds that was shipped to Santo Domingo, held in custom for 2 months, and finally, by miracle, everything got released with no charge. So
what was it? Food, clothing?
8,500 pounds of clothes and shoes and
mm-hmm.
computers and chairs and so forth for 300 kids.
That's remarkable. And how was this raised? I mean, how was this gathered to be shipped by an organization, by individuals?
Well, a lot of cooperation from many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
And one gentleman had an airplane that was empty on one direction going to Santo Domingo. So he asked us to ship to an address in Miami. I myself sent 1,800 pounds that all my friends around here gathered. And my attic was full, so I was glad to get rid of it.
How did you find out about this?
You should see the smile on those things. It's on my website, you know, if you want to see. But my main concern,
why don't you give the name of your website, Marie?
People are donating, are trying to help, are moving, you know, to do a better world.
Marie, why don't you give the name of your website? I think this would be a good time to discuss that.
It's DominicaOrphanage.com.
Say that again, because I didn't hear it.
Dominica, like the first name, D-O-M-I-N-I-C-A, Dominica,
okay.
Orphanage.com.
Okay. And how did you...
And the wonderful pictures of those kids receiving the gift.
Oh, that's beautiful. How did you become aware of this orphanage?
I was on a trip to, my first trip to Santo Domingo, and I met someone in Paris. We said, you go to Santo Domingo, find me an orphanage. So I asked my friend to find me an orphanage, and here was Dominica and her brother struggling. And now we built a school, we built an orphanage space. We have 300 kids, 70 of them we feed and clothes and everything.
That's beautiful.
And she is listening and praying, and we do meditation with the kids when something needs to be released. And we have some indigo children there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just manifests. It's beautiful.
Well,
another note, I just wanted to say that the sharing was very helpful, because for the electron, before I go to sleep, and I have already a long list of things to do, and I always drift to sleep before. So mm-hmm. thank you, Bob. I will try during the day.
Okay.
Did anyone else have anything to share with service in the community or in groups or by themselves? Let's move on to another subject, a subject that I know all of you are probably proficient with because it's something that you do a lot of. But I'm sure there are people who are listening to this that perhaps they're not proficient in meditation. I know when I first started in meditation, I heard that word meditation. It's a word that you hear, but I didn't really know how to meditate. Does anybody have some thoughts that they would like to share as to maybe how they get into meditation, how they do it, how they get results.
Caroline, this is Bob.
Yes, thank you.
I want to share that meditation is nothing more than just being yourself. It's as easy as breathing. Some people have difficulties to different degrees in visualizations. And the visualizations could be different for everyone. I give meditations every week. And when I started doing this, I found it difficult my first time when I was in training to write a meditation. It took me a week to write a meditation that I can give in 15 minutes. And after that, I said, no more. And I just closed my eyes and let spirit guide me. So that when the facilitator is speaking and taking people through a meditation, really all you have to do is just relax, and it's all part of the breathing because you'll be guided as to a way of relaxing yourself. And as the words are spoken or whatever runs through your mind, go with that. And if you find yourself drifting away and thinking about something else, it's very normal. It's easy. You just pull yourself back in. And over a period of time, you find that you have less distractions and you're able to concentrate a little bit better. And it takes some training, and it's normal for everybody to just, you know, wander off and get lost somewhere else. You start at point A, and all of a sudden you're at point Z, and it becomes really easy. When you do it on a regular basis, it becomes easier. And I found that one of the things you can do to help yourself is to create what we call sacred space. And the sacred space is created by having an area in your house or wherever it is, a desk, a chair, and always go to that same spot, that same area, that same chair, the same place. And the more you use that, the more energy you create around that space, and that becomes your sacred space. And whether you do a candle or whether you do an incense or a fragrance or some light background music, whatever your preference is, and you can play till you find your mix of whatever is comfortable for you. I find that meditation becomes so easy. For me, it's easier in my morning services than it is at night, because many times at night I find, even though I'm meditating, I may drift off. But that's neither here nor there. That's okay. And it's really great. So I've gotten to a point where I can meditate for a half hour at a time. If I desire to meditate for an hour, I could do it then. All it really takes is 5 minutes. But it's a matter of creating that sacred space, whatever you makes you happy, your sacred space. Give yourself 5 minutes a day. Start your day with a meditation, end your day with a meditation. And eventually you can increase that to 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And one of the tricks to it is that keep a journal, a pen, and a pencil with you, a pen, something. Write down your visualizations. Write down what you get. And before you start, ask for guidance. You have guides, and ask them to assist the process. And I find that as you're writing, your guides are giving you additional information because they're giving you an awareness and an interpretation of what you visualize. There is so much power in journalizing. So meditation can be made very easy, but you have to do the work. The masters will guide us and help us, but they will not do the work for us. So, that's
well, thank you for that insight as to how easy it is. Before I let you go, Bob, have you noticed that as you meditate that there is a change in your emotions?
Oh, of course. There are times when I'm bawling tears like a baby. There are times that I get so intense, so emotional, and these are joyful tears, happy tears. And then there are times when I've actually felt my guides around, and I'm laughing with them, and I know they're playing a joke with me. They're there with me. And the more I meditate, the more aware I become of their presence. It didn't always happen right away, but as you do more meditations, you will go through many emotional shifts, and they're all good. They're all good. In whatever manner you perceive them, they're all good.
A totally free conference call. If you would like to host your own free teleconference, please go to www.totallyfreeconferencecalls.com. Free media activation. Please enter your conference ID followed by the pound sign to be placed on your call.
Are you still there?
Yes,
No, I just got some kind of a recording.
Hold while we validate your conference ID. Incorrect.
Yeah, I hear it.
Please re-enter your conference ID followed by the pound sign.
Maybe I have to go enter that because we ran out of time. Let me try that.
Yeah, you enter it. Maybe that's what happened.
Please hold while we validate your conference ID. Incorrect conference ID. Please re-enter your conference ID followed by the pound sign.
Is everyone there?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Did it go away?
I think so. Maybe we're okay.
I know
for
most
a
of them have a certain time limit. We may have exceeded the.
I put my name again and it stopped. I don't know.
Okay, good. Maybe a couple of us did that and it'll be fine. And
did anyone else want to add to Bob's information? Because I think this is very enlightening, not only to us, but to people who are listening about meditation.
I have a terrible problem with meditation. I mean, I've never been able to be calm for very long.
Is this
or
Marie?
Have nothing happen around me for very long. And I used to get anxious about it, but now I think, you know, in a way, maybe I'm a walking meditation. And you find this in St. Teresa of Avila, and she'll tell you that you can make your work a meditation. You know, doing the dishes can be meditation. And it's all because you are doing things from inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are inside all the time, and you are in that quiet place as you work and everything, and that's a meditation too, and it improves what you're doing as well. So now I'm not so worried. I'm still trying to learn how to properly meditate, but I think that I'm in a way meditating too through my day, through my work. So I don't know. It's a thought.
You know, you used an interesting word. You said proper meditation, and maybe that's what if there's such a thing as a problem, you're thinking that you got to follow a certain formula where it's individual for each one of us. In other words, what's right for you is right for you, and what's right for someone else. You know, we've got to think in terms, I think, of how we are as individuals. Did I hear someone else trying to speak?
I was going to comment on what Michael explained to me about meditation, but let everybody else speak.
Does anyone else have something to add? I guess not. Mattia, it sounds like it's your turn.
Well, like Maria, I would, like, all my life on and off at different points try to meditate. And so after making the connection with Michael and working with him and having him train me to do certain things, I would bring up about the meditation. And in essence, he explained that meditation, and this is no way derogatory to anyone, so don't take this wrong, but there are lots of us who knew we wouldn't be able to meditate before we came in because meditation in itself can be a trap. So what he has taught me is that exactly what Maria said, to become the living meditation and to focus all your energies as you go about your daily task on the mind of God. And this is what will get us home, is how he put it, is that to sit down and formally meditate in the lotus position, a lot of us have condemned and criticized ourselves because we try it and it just doesn't work, or it doesn't feel right, or our legs hurt. And he explained that the point is that we're to live in society, we're to bring down that energy and those thoughts through being the walking meditation and the living meditation all during our working day. and that this is what's going to transmute and change the world in a very powerful way, in addition to, he's using the term winning us our ascensions or our rise to the higher dimensions.
So what you're saying is using the word intent. It's what we intend. It seems to me that's the important word
here.
He's
saying, no, not intent. He probably understands where you're going, where I don't. He says it's not intent. It's a form of discipline that to actually make your ascension or move into the higher dimensions, you have got to be able to control your thoughts 24 hours a day, and that you have to keep your mind completely focused. He's saying within the sphere of love, meaning that, you know, if somebody walks by you and, you know, you see this very large woman in very small clothing and everything is hanging out, you know, what do you think when you look at her? Like, oh, my God, don't, like, you know, or, oh, God, she shouldn't wear that or whatever. He says that when you can handle those kinds of situations and feel nothing but love, and that connection to God is our living meditation. So that connection exists within you all during your day, and you're able to just like live in this state that people get when they achieve the meditation. Like Bob formally meditates, and he achieves a certain state of consciousness during that meditation. What he's explaining is try to achieve that state of consciousness while you're washing the dishes, while you're doing your job, while you're talking on the phone. That's your connection to God. And that's like being a living meditation.
We're all going to need a lot of help then.
Who's this?
Well, yeah, that's Kathleen.
Kathleen. We've got all these female voices.
Boy, I'm telling you, we're going to need a lot of help.
Well, go ahead, Kathleen.
To have that thought in our mind 24 hours a day. Hey, Michael, we're human bodies.
Well, he says you have the tool handy, and here comes the plug that everybody hears from me every time I talk. This is the tool of the Course in Miracles. This is what the Course in Miracles is designed for, is for you to become that living meditation, retrain your mind to stay connected to God 24 hours a day. And he told me it's nothing less than a matter of discipline and hard work on our part, but that Spirit takes care of all the mistakes and the errors we've done. It's just our job to keep our mind focused through positive affirmations. So it is. Every second that you are conscious is a choice on what you're going to think about. And that's where the phrase, be vigilant for the kingdom of God, comes from. Is you have a choice to make every second. And it's hard. You're right, Kathleen. It's very hard. I find my mind wandering all over, but there are times when I actually stay connected now for, you know, maybe even 5 minutes, which I think is a big achievement.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did, he recommended the Course in Miracles. And personally, I couldn't make a hill of beans out of it because it seemed like in one sentence, Jesus said one thing, and in the next sentence, he said completely opposite. And I said, what in the heck, you know? So he said, if that didn't work, get something else. So I found Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth, and he's talking about the ego there and how to override it. And he does it in such a sweet, simple way that maybe I just have a sweet, simple mind, but I can understand that.
I could not understand anything in the course when I did it 25 years ago, but I did the workbook, which was training the mind and connecting with the Holy Spirit, and then I was guided last year to pick it up. And I still read last year, so Jesus had asked me to order the CDs. He said this was really important for my growth. So when I got the CDs and I listened to it, I was able to understand it. And it took a year and a half of listening to the CDs literally just about every day. Now I can sit down and read the book and somewhat understand things, but it is difficult.
Yeah.
Now, Maria took that book and read it straight through.
Oh, my goodness.
Maria had a lot of miracles with that book.
Wonderful.
Kathleen, I want to tell you, there is, I just read a triad of books. I had read them before, but I hadn't read all three books so that they make sense together. And when I, in reading them, I realized that it connects very much to what the course is teaching. At least in my mind, I could see that it's another way of putting the same thing. And it's a story, but it's telling you in very everyday life terms the same thing. And it's the third thing, prophecy. And the book two is The Dense Inside, and book three is Shambhala. So if you're looking for something not so hard to understand that doesn't seem so convoluted, you might try reading that. I think you are going to get a really good picture of that if you care to. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're getting into...
in everyday life kind of ways, you know, the story.
Yeah. We're getting into the... I'm sorry, did someone want to talk?
I just wanted to give Kathleen a message from Michael.
Oh, certainly.
He says that you're being led in other areas to prepare your mind, but don't throw away the course. Look at it once a year. When it starts to make sense for you, and you might try the daily lessons rather than the text. But go by your guidance, because he feels like you have enough attunement that your spirit is going to lead you to the path where you can eventually understand the course. I see, like, steps going up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
We're coming into the last half hour, and what I would like, if we can, to touch on all of us here on this conference loves Archangel Michael. And if you would be kind enough to briefly tell us how you first became aware of him and started working with him. Who wants to start with that? Is Deborah there? Kathleen. I'll call on you, darling. How did you become aware of Archangel Michael?
Actually, when I was a child, I was in the Catholic Church then, and I saw those little leaflets they had with the different angels and that, and I just thought he was a handsome dude. And I still think he is. Since I've gotten in the conclave, I've been working more with him, and he's telling me that I work with him and Metatron on the other side, and I said, well, gee, I wish I knew about it. But whatever I'm doing there, I guess I must be doing something good.
Now, is this in the sleep state?
I guess, yeah. He said that I work with him in Metatron, so he said I have the knowledge to open the portals and the openings for mankind when they're going to raise up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about it, but another part of me does, I guess. So, but anyway, I love his energy. When I first signed up, when I was sitting at the computer and I signed up, I felt him stand behind me and put his big wings around me.
Oh, my.
And it was just love. So I said, yeah, I love you, too.
Aw.
But I'm just, you know, consciously working more with him now. So, and I really appreciate the information that we're getting. I think it's definitely time. I've been a worker for God for years. And after I got divorced, after 30 years, I told God, I said, okay, it's your turn now. I'm yours, all yours. Send me where you want me. And he did. I've had some wonderful experiences. So
that's beautiful.
I could write a book with what the different things, places he's taken me. Even to Mount Shasta to tell an extraterrestrial that he hadn't been picked up because they had a war in the ethers, and they missed the window opening, and so I told him to have his wife and boy, how did I know that, over at a special spot on Mount Shasta, and they'd be picked up in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, and this entity was about 7 foot tall. He had blonde hair, blue eyes, and was working supposedly for the guy that owned the motel there. So all kinds of experiences, really. Just wonderful.
Is Celia Penman still there?
She had to leave.
Oh, because she didn't say too much, and I didn't want to overlook her beautiful being. So, I mean, if she had to leave, I can certainly understand that. Who else wants to come forth and talk about how they first came in contact with Archangel Michael?
This is Bob. I'll share.
Good.
My experiences with Archangel Michael goes back to my childhood days through Christianity, where, you know, we were taught about the angels and the archangels, but it never really got very much into it. It was when I started doing some of the Ron Herman seminars and working with her, getting her monthly newsletters, and started reading her books, The Golden Promise, and working with the Mastery books, and got more involved with it. And the more I interacted with the people that were there, the more Michael came to me. And later on, when I started going through initiations in the Vortex of Destiny, which is Diamond Heart Harmony in New Jersey, Archangel Michael is one of the masters, one of the Council of 13 that comes in. So I started to have more messages and more activations from him and the others, and got very into it. And then I met Mattia and other members, and then eventually the conclave was formed. So it's something that is part of my life. Archangel Michael is a big factor in my life. One of my guides, and he's promised to work with me, and I call upon him, and we just have a great connection. So that's it.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Who else? Now, I don't know who's left on the line, because we had this interference with the connection. Is there anyone else left?
I am. I'm Maria.
Thank you, Maria. Do you care to tell us your
reaction? I have always loved Archangel Michael for no particular reason. It's just it attracted me. And, I mean, I named one of my children after him. You know? I named my daughter Michelle after him.
Uh-huh.
And, and I just, whenever I lit a candle to pray or something, it was either Mary or Archangel Michael all the time. This is who I zero in on for no particular reason. It's just this is where I knew where to go. And so now that I'm working when I ended up in the conclave, and I saw who is calling, I mean, I immediately made a beeline, you know, straight away. Because I knew we have a connection here, you know. Because I have, over the years, always talk back and forth. Spirits, they talk to me, I talk to them, they give me advice. But I never was raised in this kind of atmosphere, so I never asked for a name from anybody. You know, some of them, I will get a picture, but not always. But I thought that, the message is what is important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the years, many times I tell people things and they needed to hear them and whatever. And I thought of myself as a messenger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always do tell people, you know, hey, I'm like the mailman. I'm bringing you this letter. And you don't really feel you need to know who the mailman is. You just want to open the letter and read it. And this is me. I'm the mailman. So I'm a messenger. And I guess because he's a messenger too, you know. So I don't know, but this is the kind of connection. All my things are kind of slow that way. There's no big hullabaloo, but it's all in keeping. I realize with what I do, which is try to bring everything has to show up in you every day, you know. So it fits that. So I know I haven't been on it long. you know, be poor or something. There's a rhyme and reason to it.
I love that. You're the mailman. That's sweet.
That's cute.
Now, is there anyone else there? Because I said, I'm not sure with this interruption on the telephone.
Marie? I am
Marie.
Marie's
here.
Oh, good. Yeah. Marie, do you care to share?
I have always asked for guidance and call it the universe and my guide. I became aware of Archangel Michael when with Michael we decided to create an oil in his honor for Archangel Michael because we spoke at the church. And since then, he is every day and I end up in the conclave thanks to Jim. And I definitely do prayers for him. I check my list every day between 10 and 20 and 100 people that he wants me to send a wave of love or compassion or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I am very faithful to that request.
I honor you having a prayer list and being faithful to it. That is a very great service to pray for those on your prayer list. So, you know, for the light of spirit, I say thank you. That's a job well done.
Yeah, yesterday I had to call on him for a youngster, 21, who committed hanging.
Mm.
And we could not get the sword to go to the light, so I said, please take him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there now.
That's good. Mattia, do you care to share? You have a lovely story with Archangel Michael.
Yeah, everybody has all these beautiful stories, but I spent my life trying to get his attention. Did somebody say something?
Yes, I said yours is no less beautiful.
Well, my struggle with Archangel Michael, I guess, started when my son had a reading. He was about 6 at the time, so this was a long time ago, and they talked about how he worked with Archangel Michael, and there was the war in heaven and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, well, gee, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't Archangel Michael like me? And so from there on, it was more or less, I felt like I needed to prove myself. So I knew that he was the protector of policemen, and I had left law enforcement to raise my child. So I thought, well, I know how he'll have to watch over me. I'm going to become a cop again. Then he has no choice but to deal with me and take care of me. So that's what I did. I got back into law enforcement, and I thought, well, you know, let me take this another step. Let me change my name. So I changed my name to Michael. And it was a series of things like this that I would do to, you know, get his attention. And as I grew in attunement with him, I guess I realized I knew that he was always there. It was just that I was too thick-headed to see it. And when for my trigger for the final impetus was I went to a reader and she said that Archangel Michael was one of my guides, and I thought, aha, he's finally here. And I went home and typed in Archangel Michael on the computer, and I connected with Rana, but more at the time I connected with I Am University. And Michael would actually come and go in my life. If I was not working to the level that he expected to be in a relationship, he would turn me over to another teacher. And when I grew enough and learned to love, and whining was a big thing, you know, whining a lot about my lot in life. And not that he doesn't deal with that, but it just shows a certain level of spiritual immaturity. So what he did is he guided me through working with Joshua, working with Rana, and now working with Carolyn. Each level has been a maturing step, and now I know he's there, but I just felt for most of my adult life that I just had to do all sorts of things to get his attention.
I love that story. And the reason why I love that story, Mattia, is because you changed your whole life around to have a to make sure that you had a relationship with Archangel Michael. I mean, you became a policeman. You changed your profession again. You were determined that you were going to have this relationship with him. I like that. I thought that was a beautiful story.
Well, thank you. It wasn't always easy. I even got into the Catholic a little bit because I knew that I would find places that he was a patron saint of and start my nose in. And, looking at different, because I was raised Greek Orthodox, and of course we have the Byzantine icons, and everybody looks like they're a demon in them. And the Catholic Church had these beautiful pictures of Mary and Michael and the rest, so I would actually go there to look at them. But, yeah, so in the end, I guess I was successful, but I probably put out a whole lot of effort unnecessarily.
Well, you did put out effort, and I think that anybody who is listening to this, I think that it is a something that is needed to know that we have to put forth an effort if we want to have a relationship with those spiritual masters on the other side. We have to put forth an effort. Does anybody want to comment on that, the kind of efforts that they think is needed to have a relationship with spirit?
Well, I think you have to be dedicated, you know, like Maddie was persistent. And Michael said, oh, she's not going to go away. I guess I better work with her.
So, yes, exactly, my dear.
Yeah.
He told me one time after I realized he was there, I would like be very mild about many situations. Like he would say, go boldly to the throne of God. Don't creep like a mouse. And he would say, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. But
right.
You know, there's a certain reverence. We know what he was talking about. Yeah, there's a certain reverence, but he says you're not going to get anything if you don't ask for anything.
Right. But, you know, on another point, recently the angels told me, quit asking. Just let us bring it. So
I think you're right about that, but that's later in our evolution.
Maybe.
In the beginning, yeah, I think you get to a point where you're in complete attunement with your angels and your guides, and you don't want things anymore. They know what you need.
Right.
To me, that's spiritual maturity.
Well, hopefully we get there.
I think what you're talking, is it fair to say, Mattia, that what you're talking about is attachment?
I think so, because if you think about your early days, I mean, how many of us prayed for a love relationship? How many of us had to have this job? How many of us just had to have God fix everybody in our life? That's
right.
Attachment. That's like telling God what you need. And as you mature, it's almost like you realize you don't need anything but God. And then this is where I see Kathleen and the angels come and they add to you. They give to you. They show you. You don't have to, you're not seeking for material things or worldly things. You're just seeking for that relationship with God. And then that's when spirit just starts to bless you.
Well, last night when I was meditating, I thought, every time I'm going to God, I'm asking him for something. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask God, what can I do for you tonight?
Oh.
And God said, well, my children really need to be awakened. And I said, good, I got a big mouth. I'll write lots of emails and I'll just get that word out as fast as I can. And so God was appreciative of that. So we need to ask God how we can help him instead of asking, what can you give me? What can you do for me? You know, that's been going on too long. Yeah.
Spiritual maturity. That's what Archangel Michael looks for, and that's what he does, and that's the work he does with people. He brings them to that point of spiritual maturity. He's taught me now that when I wake up, I just say, God, this day's for you, and whatever you need, I'm here to do it.
Right.
And that kind kind of just changes everything.
Yeah. Makes the day much easier, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It falls better.
Yeah.
Well, my thing was that I didn't really put out a whole lot of effort to meet anybody. They just sort of showed up. I kind of took them for granted, you know. And I talked to them back and forth like they're here, you know. They are, but I mean, nobody else can see them. So you can imagine where my reputation for being out comes from. But my thing in prayer is thank you, you know.
Right.
Thank you. Because I don't know, when you start praying a thank you, just because, I mean, let's do something nice for you for change. And when you say this prayer all the time, thank you, you become aware that you have everything. And they're giving you everything that you need. You're getting all this tremendous amount of help from all kinds of people, you
right.
know. And being focused on I'm thankful. That shows you everything that you have to be thankful for. And it shows you that things are just fine, you know. So,
I think
don't know,
gratitude,
that's my experience about that.
Gratitude is perhaps one of our most wondrous virtues for us to attain, to be grateful for what we have. You're on the right track with that, I do believe.
That's probably the word I most use in my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful
just,
word.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it makes everything so much easier, too,
mm-hmm.
right? I was told at my job the other day that they say, I love when you come in here because you come in here, hello, everybody, how are you today? How beautiful. You know, thank you for this, thank you for that, and everybody's just upbeat. But it's a little thing, you know. It's a little thing, but it's a little thing that goes a long way.
Right.
I think that when they do the studies for employee-employer relationships, the gratitude outweighs the money every time. And
mm-hmm.
they thank you for a job well done. And in our country, we take so much for granted. And this was one of the character flaws that Michael showed me is very detrimental. Is not showing gratitude, because when you don't show gratitude, you're in a constant state of lack. When
mm-hmm.
you say
yes.
thank you, you're in a state of abundance. I have everything I need. Thank you, you know.
Yes.
And
yes.
that was something I had to learn and to train myself to do. So you're very blessed that you picked up on that.
Yeah, in my experience, I see a lot of sites that say you won't get abundance. And they usually try to explain abundance if you're going to have everything. And, you know, I have abundance. I don't have everything. And I don't have a savings account or nothing. But I have abundance because I have everything I need. When I need something, it shows up. So, I mean, I have a bottomless pit that keeps shorting out whatever I need right on time there. I don't need a bank account, you know?
I would like to interrupt for one second, my beautiful people of the light. We're getting down to the end of the hour where we've got to say goodbye. And before we say goodbye, Mattia, was there one last thing that perhaps Archangel Michael would like to leave or end this meeting with?
Give me a second. First and foremost, he says he wants to thank each and every one of you for stepping out, that this group within the conclave are the teachers that he is grooming for the future, and that those who are participating are learning their lessons well, and that on the part of spirit, they are very much gratified when a student does what is asked of them, and they step forward into a position that is not easy for them to take, but that is necessary because we are the way showers and we are the ones that are going to assist the next generation to come forward. And I feel just a great sense of everybody's angels and guides and masters, like it's almost like they're sitting in this auditorium and they're watching and listening to everything that we say. And that they're most grateful that we took the initiative to step out and speak of our experiences so that others can benefit. And they say the tones in our voices are extremely important as this information goes out into the ethers, that each of us has a group that on a subconscious level is going to hear this almost like a radio wave, and that this information is triggering, and he's using the word mass, a lot of people are going to begin the process of the divine discontent because of the fact that everybody has stepped out and spoken the words that they have spoken today.
Thank you, Mattia. In ending, I would just like to say that before we did this, my room filled with many masters, Mary, Mother, Jesus, Saint Germain, and they left an energy here. They went to the station and left an energy, and they connected all of you to this energy and told me that this was opening a vortex of light to be broadcast over this station. And so I say to all of you, thank you from the bottom of my heart, and we will meet again in love sometime, hopefully soon. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Every one of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.